This is Ross Owen.
Virus database has been updated.
This is Ross Owen. They really know their shite.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
7 years of college down the drain.
This is Ross Owen.
Great Scott!
Black Sky Radio.
The Ross Owen Show is sponsored by DDayHistorian.com.
Welcome to the Ross Owen Show. It's the 7th of October. The return of Still Game. It's one of my favourite sitcoms. It's not been on the telly for 9 years, and it's back tonight in about an hour and a half from now. And on the show to celebrate, we've got three special guests today. We've got Tom Urey, who played Martin in Still Game. Also on the show, we have Paul Riley, who plays Winston. And the creator of Still Game, we have Greg Hemphill joining us. That's all coming very shortly here on the Ross Owen Show. Don't go away, stay tuned. Here's a track from the Monkees.
You blew my mind. You turned back time. You changed my looked in your eyes, saw starry skies, the sun and moon. And you're a dreamer just like me. We don't need reality. We're in our own world. We're in our own world. We're in our own world that nobody else can see.
Hey, this is Ricky Gervais, and you're listening to Ross Owen on Black Sky Radio.
Say that you love me.
Ross Owen Show is sponsored by DDayHistorian.com.
It's probably one of your all-time favorite television series. And this December, it's your chance to meet the actors who portrayed some of World War II's most well-known paratroopers. Join the actors from television's Band of Brothers series this December in Bastogne, Belgium, as they gather to honor the veterans of the Battle of the Bulge and in support of the nonprofit World War II Foundation. For the past 2 years, the actors have reunited in Normandy, France, and thousands of people have had the opportunity to meet them. Now, for the first time, the actors are visiting another of the most historic locations of World War II, where the 101st Airborne Division held off German counterattack after counterattack during some of the most extreme weather conditions witnessed in the entire war. We hope you join us in Bastogne for 3 days of amazing events with the Band of Brothers actors and veterans. Please visit www.wwiifoundation.org and click on our events link to order your tickets. The actors will see you in Bastogne, Belgium, December 9th through the 11th.
Hi, I'm Paul Woodedge, D-Day historian, a battlefield tour guide in Normandy, France. I offer tours of the D-Day landing beaches of 1944 along with my partner Magali. If you would like to find out more, see my website at www.ddayhistorian.com and my partner Magali's at www.ddayforyou.com. I am proud to be supporting the Ross Owen Show.
Black Sky Radio.
Stay tuned for my first guest, Tom Urie, talking about Still Game after this one from Thin Lizzy.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
The boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
I said,
the boys are back in town.
Chick that used to dance a lot. Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she'd got. Man, when I tell you she was cool, she was red hot. I mean she was steaming. And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
I said, blood will spill. And if the boys wanna fight, you better let them. That jukebox in the corner blasting out my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer, it won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
And joining me now on the Skype line, friend of the show, Tom Urey. Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
We're doing this Still Game special tonight because, I mean, can you believe it's back? We're so excited about it.
I can't believe it's back because they couldn't not. They honestly couldn't not. There would have been a riot. There would have been protests in the streets. They hadn't brought it back. It's ingrained now in Scottish popular culture. It's the Boons, it's Oud Willie, it's Shotbread, it's Sight and Brew, Still Game. It's just, it rolls off the tongue and amongst all these things. The good thing about it is that they've come back with probably 9 years worth of jokes that have been in their heads. So it's going to be good stuff, I think.
And it's funny you mentioned the Bruins because Paul Riley, who we're speaking to just after yourself, who plays Winston, is appearing in the Bruins on stage at the moment. And that's one of the things.
I'm actually quite devastated about that, Ross.
You're devastated? What, you don't think it's a good
idea?
I'm
devastated. No, I'm really, really upset that I wasn't offered the role of Daphne.
Oh, they missed a trick.
They missed a trick with that. I mean, I'm the perfect Daphne Bruin.
The connection between the Bruins and Oud Willie and Still Game is none of them get older.
I'm glad they're doing it that way because it's making it as timeless. You know, they're just the Simpsons, Bart Simpson never grows up. It's perfect to just go back and go back into that world and ignore the time that's passed because. What age would Jack and Victor be now if we were actually creating on the timeline? They'd probably be in their 80s.
They've done two birthdays, I believe. Victor was 74 in one episode, and then about 3 years later or so, he was 75. So many seasons later. So we know Victor was 75 in at least one episode.
I've got an encyclopedic knowledge of the history of it, as you've just demonstrated to us. Everybody can tell you everything about Still Game because people watch it over and over and over, and now it's on Netflix. It's experiencing a revival, regardless whether they'd be bringing it back or not. It's now getting a big fan base down south, and I think the time's right for England to be watching it, you know.
But you know, it's also big in America now as well because of Netflix. It's actually on Netflix USA, and Nightmare is a massive fan of Still Game.
Nightmare loves it.
Yeah,
I know.
Now the whole of America has been watching it because it's on Netflix USA. But I want you to, for those who don't know, tell us the part that you played in Still Game.
Jack and Victor are standing at the bus stop. They're getting hassled off Ned's. I come round the corner with my mum. She's bought Empire biscuits instead of snowballs, and I go absolutely mental. And I still get that shouted at me in the street.
Do you?
20 years later.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. It's the thing. See, I did 5 years in River City. I've done a couple of movies. I've done lots of other stuff. 30 seconds and Still Game, and that's the thing that I get the most people saying about. The guy was called Martin, and people just call me Martin. So it's mental.
Yo, cow! I remember that.
It was along the lines of I'm new wanting an Empire biscuit and wanting a snowball. And then Jack shouts, maybe you can have a job, Martin, and your mocking might be asked for you, Martin. And people shout that at me. And listen, see, having done anything in Still Game, it's an absolute joy because you're part of that universe, you know. Even though I was in it for a minute, it's still, I'm chuffed because I'm a massive fan of the show. I can't wait to see the new episodes, and just to have been a part of it was a complete and utter thrill, you know. Because it's probably my favourite sitcom.
I think that one of the great things is it's bringing everybody together again, and the whole of Scotland's buzzing.
I tell you what, it's event television, and we've not had that for a long time.
Absolutely.
Genuinely, I think it's going to be the start of a new era for it, and I think it's going to be worldwide this time, because it's been a battle to try and get it outside of Scotland. It's always been big in Canada, and it's always been big in the kind of colonies, and the fact that it went onto Netflix is now. I mean, I don't know if you know it. Do you remember Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Of course.
You remember Brian Nash, the guitarist, Nasher? Massive Still Game fan. Him and his mates came up and saw the Hydro show.
There's a great story doing the rounds just now about episode one, which is just coming up just shortly. We're so excited about this. I think you should have another drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Hug Money in Scotland right now. Winston's brother's in tonight's episode. And do you know how he got the part? Did you hear about this?
Somebody went and
saw their version of Still Game. They did the stage play.
Is that what
and
it was?
And I think they were so impressed with him that they decided to give him a part.
Was
I
he playing Winston or something in some amateur drama?
He was, yeah.
Right, uh-huh. I got you.
And I think it was exactly like Winston.
That's what a dream come true. Coming up very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Paul, who plays Winston, and then we're going to be speaking to Greg to lead us up to the BBC One at 9:30. So, Tom, thanks for, as always, for taking the time out. And
no bother at all.
Enjoy Still Game tonight.
Mate. All right, see you soon, Paul.
Cheers, Tom. Thanks again.
Black Sky Radio.
I was looking up to heaven. It was right under my nose. I had traveled many light years. It was right across the road. A billion trillion grains of stardust floating round in space. Two of them collided in an ordinary place. We are electricity. We will never die. We'll just burn and burst and return to the sky.
Like magic, all right. can see from your worst day.
I'm taking a dive.
I'm moving in line. Then you look back in time to the first day.
I'm taking.
And you and your sweet desire.
Don't you do it, don't you do it.
Thank you.
guest is actor, writer, comedian and director Paul Reilly.
It about covers it, didn't it?
It just about covers it, didn't it? but haven't they mentioned that you won a BAFTA?
I won two.
You won two BAFTAs? Were they both for Winston?
No, they weren't. The other one was for Beer Green Place. I won one for Winston and one for Beer Green Place as well, which I wrote, as you said, all of the above.
What a CV. Actor, writer, comedian, director and winner of two BAFTAs.
Chain Boy, I'm the guy who stands at the, you know, the man with the theodolite who points at the young boy with his dick. I'd be one of them.
Brilliant. Now, you're kind of a workload's kind of a chain since then. You're currently you're treading the boards in theatres across the country as Paul Bruin in a brand new play about Scotland's favourite family, the Bruins. It's a brilliant idea for a play. Do you know, the only time I've ever seen anything like this was a sketch in the Scottish programme that was before Chewing the Fat.
Naked Video?
Naked Video. Totally lost it there. Naked Video once did a skit of the Bruins. Did you ever see that?
No, I don't think so. Did, no.
Just a one-off sketch. Elaine C. Smith was the bairn. And,
really?
Aye. And Johnny Watson was Joe. And Tony Roper was Paul Bruin. It's probably kicking around somewhere on YouTube. But it's a brilliant idea for a show. Whose idea was this?
Well, the original idea was Rob Drummond, the writer, approached the creators with the initial idea and then kind of snowballed from there. So they called him, and it was actually during this film in this series of Still Game, to ask if I'd be interested in it. And then I saw who was in it, and Joyce Faulkner, who used to be in River City, was one of my oldest pals. I was at drama school with Joyce, and also Mo Carr.
From Still Game?
Who plays the Bairn, exactly. So I just thought, well, we're going to have a laugh at any cost. So I just said, I will do that. And so all the folk, the new folk, as it were, the younger members of the family at all, some of them are fresh out of drama college, and they're absolutely brilliant. A lot of them. Very talented musicians, you know. So there's a lot of music in it as well. And we've got the masterstroke of Mo Carr, who goes from, who once said pint of Guinness, who's now saying he's going to chop a big tree down. it's great fun. We're having a real good laugh.
Joyce has got the perfect voice for Mo Bruin, and I heard a story this
the
week
only that people need a microphone. I'm telling you,
I heard this week that people used to come up to you on the street and say that to you. You're that woman that sounds like Mo Bruin.
Aye, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Sort of comes naturally.
Yeah, there's a kind of takeoff of River City in the Bruins as well, which is one of the audiences. You know, they go mad for it because it's the obviously it's the laughter of recognition that she's back to. Pretending to be Roisin again, you know.
Yes. Did you know that what surprised me about the Bruins was the international appeal? I put it on my Facebook. I've been sort of putting up there that the show's doing a tour, and all these people from all over the country are saying, "Oh, we loved the Bruins when we were wee," and I thought, I didn't know they got the Bruins in England.
Well, that's the thing. It was the, you know, I was saying during rehearsals, I wonder what the demographic for this show is going to be. You know, and it's fairly broad, but is it, there's, you know, the older generation certainly are coming along and really enjoying it, because there's a lot of kind of, as I say, it's a borderline musical almost. There's a lot of contemporary songs, but there's a lot of shortbread songs, and so, you know, all bases are covered in that regard. But so we've got another, I don't know, 5-6 weeks to go. But it's great fun. It's great fun, especially on a sunny day like this.
I have to ask, does Oor Willie make an appearance? Or is that a surprise? You're not allowed to tell.
And have never been a member of the Communist Party.
All right, okay, we'll leave that at that. Do you think he's all do any more with that show? Do you think he's all take it further?
Anywhere to the Bruins?
Yes.
Well, that's the kind of, it's an open book, isn't it, the Bruins? You could be kind of in the same way as we do Still Game. You just keep reinventing the wheel. You could do the Bruins at New Year. I mean, this particular episode of the Bruins is about Maggie's wedding.
Right.
And whether or not we can actually do something on stage that the comic strip hasn't achieved yet. And I'll leave that open so you can come along and see it.
Absolutely.
You could be a million in different one episodes of the Bruins, you know.
Aye, definitely. I'd love to see that. I'm definitely going to get along and see the show in Glasgow. In roughly just over an hour, on BBC yep. One. Brand new series of Still Game.
Yes.
I can't believe it. You've been a part of Still Game since
you
the show.
You can't believe it.
You've been a part of it all since it first started back in 1997 on the stage. What's the reaction been like from the fans since the announcement that it was coming back to television after, 9 years?
Well, it's a funny thing. Like, I'm going to compare it to the Hydro for a minute. And when we did the Hydro, we saw the physical manifestation of what our fan base was. We'd never seen it up till then. They'd just been numbers on a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did the Hydro, the place went absolutely nuts. And it was brilliant fun. When you go back to filming, you're kind of back in that bubble where you're just making a programme for people who you're never going to see. Except when you get to the audience screenings and we show them of maybe about 250 people. And because of this commitment to the Bruins, I've only seen the first two episodes myself, but when I went to the cinema that night, the place went absolutely mental for it. So for fans waiting for the next hour, just pouring their tinnies out into their nice cold glasses, they're going to have an absolute riot. Episode one is absolutely hilarious, and as is episode three. So it's no long to go. It's a bit like waiting for the bells.
Right, that's exactly what I was thinking. We've got the glasses already, and we've got the wine already.
Well, there you go.
Chilled.
There you go. Your party pop.
We're going to have a Still Game party with the lads. Now, the new series that's going to be shown across the UK. Did you have to tone down some of the Scottish patter for this series?
Not quite the opposite, actually. It was. I don't know whether it was by accident or design, but you look at this script. You could put it into series four. You could put it into series one. It wouldn't make any difference, to be honest with you. I did the play actually of Trainspotting, and there was that decision to be made because we went to England, we went to the RSC with Trainspotting, believe it or not. So when we did it, and you know the decision was taken immediately, it's no our job. The train's left the station. You need to keep up with us, and so we just battled on with it. You know what
sure.
I mean? And so we found ourselves at the Royal Shakespeare Company where they were playing Twelfth Night next door in Trainspotting in the studio theatre, and I'm walking by a guy in a rough where. A Stanley thing. And he says, your show sounds fascinating, I must come and see it. Aye, mental fun.
How often do you get recognised in the street? I mean, because you just basically look the same, you're instantly recognisable, and what do people always say to you? What's the line that you get most often?
I don't understand it myself, but people do recognise me. Maybe I'm getting old. people recognise me all the time, and the obvious thing is always leg related,
right?
And you know, so it's always about how's your leg, and you know that's absolutely fair enough. It's like you saw it, you watched the show.
You should have bought the rights to the Welcome Mat. You should have, because I've seen them on eBay and they're selling like hotcakes. Everybody in Scotland's got one.
They used to be a fair load of them at the bars as well a few years back. In fact, it was just after the Hydro, and the Hydro DVD was on the table, the pirate copy of the Hydro, and so I just said to the guy, how much? He was looking down at the table. I said, how much is that there? And he went, a fiver, and then he looked up and he saw it was me, and he said, and rather go the other way, he said, but a tenner if you sign it.
Brilliant.
I was like, fair enough.
Oh,
I signed it for him.
And I must say, cool. You've got all that, we just read out your CV about how impressive your CV was, and I'm just thinking here, you're in the Bruins, you're in Still Game, you've got about another 50 years left in this business, because you don't get any older in any of these shows.
Well, I'm the go-to guy for old people. until somebody else comes along, until I eventually get old, it's who's Joe Blow, isn't it?
That's true. And it's I don't want to spoil it. I was going to ask, where does the new series pick up? But I don't want to know. The more I think about it, I don't want to know. I want to wait and see where
the same way. There's a character in the Bruins who says, "I feel like I've been here since 1936," and the audience love that because it's a wee Easter egg for fans of the Bruins. And it's exactly the same with Still Game. We just pick it up, bang, like that. And I don't mean in terms of storyline. You just find all the old faces doing all the same stuff, you know?
Sure.
And the bonus for this particular run of six is that there's some new characters come in who are absolutely out the park. You know, they're brilliant, every one of them.
Oh, I mean, well, the characters, were, if they're anything like the characters we've seen in the past, we've a lot to look forward to. Dead excited.
Yeah,
dead excited. Paul, we wish you all the best with the Bruins tour and the return of Still Game. And, of course, the new stage shows are doing in February. Good luck with that as well.
That's yeah, that's right. Aye.
Should keep you busy.
Start that in January. Start rehearsals for that in January, so that'll be good. But, no, listen, come along and see the Bruins, have a good time, enjoy yourselves. But in the meantime, we must be about, by my reckoning, 50 minutes away from the start of the new show. So go and enjoy yourselves and get pissed.
We will. We most certainly will. And we're going to have a great time. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for you guys for all teaming up and for coming, bringing Still Game back.
Enjoy, man, enjoy.
All right, you too. Okay, have a great run, right. and we'll see you in Glasgow. Cheers, Paul.
All the best.
All the best, mate.
Bye-bye.
Paul Riley joining us there, star of Still Game, currently in the Bruins touring Scotland. We'll be right back with Greg Hempel after this. We'll be right back. The Proclaimers with Get Ready. And we are ready. I'm ready. And I'm being joined by a couple of pals. I've got Andy here from Scotland. Andy, say hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Andy's here, part of the Still Game Party. We're in the mood. And also, the most unlikely fan from Kansas City is with us. Nightmare's joining us for the party as well. How you doing, Nightmare?
Groovy as a 10-cent movie, brother. I am so excited. I'm glad that the new stuff is on, or the old stuff is on Netflix, but I'm a little disheartened that I'm not going to be able to see the new stuff when tonight.
It's never stopped you before from seeing it, so I don't know why it's going to stop you this time. You're rogue.
Hey, you're not supposed to say those things on the radio, man.
Yeah, well, it's live, and sometimes
you're going to get the G-men down on me.
Yeah, sometimes you say things and it just comes out. Just ignore that last comment. Anyway, the time is ticking. We are at less than an hour away from the very first episode of the new series of Still Game. It's a brand new version of the Still Game theme by the BBC Scottish Symphony Orchestra, arranged and conducted by Ben Foster. Now, the new series of Still Game kicks off in under an hour on BBC One, and joining us now on the phone is Greg Hempel. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hello, boss. How are you?
Absolutely buzzing. The whole country's buzzing about the return of Still Game tonight. How does that make you feel?
It feels pretty special. It's you know, makes you feel a little bit nervous because you don't want to disappoint people, but it's exciting as well. You know, when we did the show the first time, we used to go along to the screenings and stand up the back like little kids and listen to the laughter and high five each other when jokes landed and when punchlines landed and when the outs for the scenes landed. And none of that's changed. We did it the other night and it was like a trip down memory lane. We were at the back of the theater listening to the audience laughing at episodes 3 and 4, which obviously will be out in a few weeks. So it's an exciting time for all the for myself and Ford and the rest of the cast. You know, it's we've had the biggest welcome back that we could ever have hoped for.
Now, we just heard the new version of the theme tune. It's absolutely fantastic. Why did you decide to reshoot the titles and re-record the music?
Well, it was one of these decisions that came out of a practicality. The titles, the original titles, were not shot in high definition because the show finished in 2007, and I think HDTV was in its infancy on BBC Scotland then. So that was a practicality, and I think Jackie Sinclair, the producer, thought, well, while we're doing the titles, why don't we have another bash at the music just to kind of make it sound, just to freshen it up and sprinkle a little bit of BBC fairy dust on it. And I think it's that nice thing, you know, when a show's coming back, that things feel new but also familiar. And that's the tightrope that any sitcom has to walk. You know, you're introducing characters that are known to the audience, but you're introducing them in new situations and hopefully funny situations. So I think the redoing of the titles sort of fitted that bill.
Why is there two different theme tunes to Still Game?
When the show is broadcast on the BBC, there's a blanket musical agreement, and they can basically they put it out, and then they pay royalties to the people that did the music. So the original song was the Cuban Boy by Frank Chaxfield, and this fabulous Bunch of Boys, which was a band called the Cuban Boys,
yes,
basically made that version. Now, I think there was some kind of, I'm not entirely sure, you have to speak to somebody at the BBC or this, but I think there was some problem with the copyright. And I think that, so what happened was when the show came out on DVD, they had to redo the music.
Ah.
And they did a version of the song, which to my mind wasn't as memorable as the original track that was composed by the Cuban Boys. So the first chance we got when we brought the show back was we wanted to have the original theme tune for the show, because it just gets everybody in the mood for the show. I think it's literally the signature tune of the show, in many ways. And people like it and they love it, and we love it too. You know, it landed. Actually, the funny story about that was Ford and I were round writing episodes for it, and somebody stuck it in his mailbox, and he brought it in and he said, listen to this, this is great. And we listened to it, and we listened to the middle 8-bit, which is the theme tune. And we were like, oh, that's great, let's use that. And that was that. It just, like, somebody just dropped a CD off at his house. It was terrific.
Wow.
And that's how these stories start, you know, just somebody going, I'm going to stick that through his letterbox.
The last episode of Still Game that we saw on the telly, the last episode was the Hootenanny one, wasn't it?
That's correct, Tyne Foolish.
And in fact,
that's right.
If you don't include the little bit where you see Isa and Navid at the end, after the credits, if you don't include that, you got the last word, didn't you? Can you remember what the last line of Still Game, what the series? Can you remember what it was?
I imagine it was something like, get it round you, you sheep shaggers, or something.
Very
like
close. Very close. Happy New Year, you bunch of sheep shaggers. See, we've done our research here, Greg.
And, you certainly have.
And, you know, we were discussing Tyne Foolish. And Andy here, Andy, you've got a theory about that. What was your theory about Tyne Foolish?
Well, it's got to be somewhere between Tyne Brook and Ballyhoolish, isn't it? That's pretty
obvious. Is that correct?
Well, I'll tell you, we've done this a few times, because when we went down to go to Finport, one of the shittiest towns, so made-up towns, we didn't want to obviously upset anybody, so we made it an amalgamation of two or three towns. And of course, Craig Lang is an amalgamation of, you know, Canvas Lang and, is it Craigton, I think? So we've done this on many occasions. You know, when you're describing neighbourhoods as shiteholes, you don't particularly want to get anybody upset or in trouble, you know, or the next time we go, you know, to anywhere up the West Coast, you know, there's going to be two nooses waiting for us, you know what I mean? Or a wicker man, even worse, to stick it in. So we're very mindful of that, you know, we want to have fun with the neighborhoods that Jack and Victor go to. So it's always better to have fictional ones than it is to have real ones. But that was a lot of fun, that episode. We had Lewis Howden out with us on that episode. He was very, very funny. It was a great cast. And it was the funny thing about Still Game ending in 2007 was none of us, even Ford and I, really knew that was going to be the last episode. Mm-hmm. We just kind of did it. And then we were like, they offered us another commission for Series 7 in 2007, and we started on it, and we got about halfway through one episode, and we stopped, and we said, we can't do this anymore. And I'll give you a bit of an exclusive, actually. Ford and I have never talked about this, but on radio or TV, but the episode that we were writing was an episode in which Jack and Victor basically started to watch, one of them went on Who Do You Think You Are to trace their relatives. And I think it was my character that went on, and it turned out to be related to Fred West. And we got about halfway through that episode, and it's somewhere in a drawer somewhere, and I don't know what happened. I can't remember exactly, but we literally just downed tools and said, let's take a break, and called up the BBC and said, we want a break. I think it was probably to do with the fact that we were writing an episode in which one of the main characters was related to a serial killer. I think that was as close to Fonzie jumping the shark as we'd ever came. And I think we were smart to pull back at that point, you know what I mean, and just say, we need a break here. This is just whatever we were doing isn't quite working now. But yeah, there you go. So there's an episode somewhere where half of an episode somewhere where is related to Fred West, but it was never realized. We wrote about 15 pages. I remember we were about halfway through it, and we just said, nah.
Right. maybe at the Christmas party.
Yeah, imagine trying to get that way as a Hugman Ace special. You
know? Now, without giving too much away, I'm interested to know where the new series picks up, because I know the characters are timeless, and we just spoke to Paul, who's doing the Bruins at the moment, and how the comparison between Oor Willie and the Bruins, and that they don't age. But how do you get round the storyline of Tam's baby? Is the baby still a baby, or, you know, how does that work for you? Does that complicate the story for you?
I don't want to say too much about Tam's baby, because I will say that the baby is a baby, and because we actually enjoyed, maybe at one point the baby will grow up and the old folks won't, or maybe just as some form of punishment to the character of Tam, not even to the punishment of Mark Cox, but as a punishment to the character of Tam, he's stuck with a baby for the rest of the lifespan of the TV show. We think that's quite funny. So, I think we're always we're always looking for ways to torture our cast. And you know, I don't know if you know this story, but one night myself and Ford, back in our really heavy drinking days, were in the pub with Paul Riley, and he was maybe, I can't remember how it came about, he was maybe suggesting a storyline. And we said, look, don't, this is how it works, right? You just do your thing and we'll do our thing. In fact, and we started, because we were all drunk and having a good laugh, we started to rib each other and we were saying, we're like the gods and we have the strings and you're the puppet that dances about. That's how it works, right? And it got more and more down this kind of line, and we were shouting and bawling at each other and having a right laugh. And then we said, we could do anything to you. You know, it's like the Greek mythologies. We could do whatever we want. We just touch it and then you just fall down. In fact, we could just cut your leg off. We could actually cut off Winston's leg and that would be the end of it. And the next day, we went into the office with hangovers and we wrote Winston losing his leg, and we were howling with laughter, and we were saying, look at this, we're only doing this because we were drunk in the pub, and we were basically baiting him that we could do it, and now we got to see it through. And do you know something, I'll tell you, it's fortuitous how these things happen, because Winston's leg is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, we've had so many storylines about it. I'm sure that Paul loves that addition to his character, but the way that that story bit, that sound thing came about was pure malevolence on our part, just to tease him and annoy him. You know, and that's how it happened. That's 100% how it happened. You know, that we didn't sit there for months and months and go, what kind of story? We just, with a hangover, just started writing it and started to howl with laughter. And we were like, oh, and one day it could be a woman's foot. And then another time he could keep stuff in it and all this, and it could keep falling off. And there's some great jokes with his leg in this new series, you know. And I don't know, Winston probably is my favorite character. And I think it's because he's the most resilient and he's the most black and white. He sees everything right down the middle. He has an answer, you know, right away. He doesn't ever have to deliberate about anything because he sees things very, very clearly. And I think that's what the element, that pugnacious and that kind of fiery spirit is the thing that gets him into trouble. And I think that's why he's one of the favorites of the audience as well, because, you know, you can throw things at him and he will fall down and then he'll get right back up. And that's a joy to write, that kind of character.
He always says it how it is. Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
You guys, the core cast, of course, we all know are youthful individuals, but some of the supporting cast were, you know, elderly people. Did we lose any of the supporting cast that we don't have anymore?
Some of our supporting cast are, you know, we have an amazing supporting cast of, you know, older actors and younger actors who are made up, and that gives you that blend that is the show. You know, like Jimmy Martin, who returns for the series, is 85. Unfortunately, we lost, and Scotland lost, the fantastic Jake Darcy.
Jake Darcy.
And, you know, from you know, who people will know from Gregory's Girl. Pete, who played Pete the Jakey, he passed away last year, I think it was, and we really, really missed him because we love that character so much, you know. Life gets in the way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he was a big loss, a big character in the acting world in Scotland. We did a Gregory's Girl special, actually, and all the actors all sort of paid tribute to Jake as well. Greg, one of the episodes that we watched again, as I mentioned, was Gearden, where Jack and Victor go to the, I don't know if I can say this, I don't know what the PC is on this, they go to the insane hospital. Are you allowed to say mental? I don't know if you're allowed to say it. It's live, I've said it now. Right. So, they go to, are you allowed to say that?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you? Because they call it a loony bin, and I'm sure you'd probably not be able to say that. But characters can say what they want.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about writing.
Yeah, so they go to they go to the hospital to visit their pal. But they meet the guy in the white jacket who Jack and Victor think is a doctor. But when they get to the top of the stairs, he bursts into song. He starts singing Camp Town Races and starts flapping his wings like a chicken. How did you and Ford... I'm watching that scene and the cameras are on you the whole time for a good 20, 30 seconds. Well, it seems like that. How did you guys keep a straight face? Because that must have been hilarious.
Well, that was our friend George Drennan that played that part, who's a huge theatre actor in Scotland, a fantastic turn, a really good pal. We've known him for many, many years. Well, I'd heard this story. I don't know whether we incorporated this into that, but I don't even know if this is related to this, but it reminded, what George's performance in that reminded me of this guy's story. He said he went to Venice Beach, and he said he was walking along the pier, and he walked past this you know, the craziest people he'd ever seen. And he said he walked past this one guy, and he was tweeting. And then he said, and I don't mean writing a tweet for Twitter. I mean actually tweeting like a bird.
You meant he was tweeting Twitter. He's going tweet.
And you sort of, you know, when George does that kind of chicken walk off, I mean, I can't remember how many takes we did of that, but we were crying as soon as the yell cut, we fell over.
And you had to.
We ruined a lot of takes with laughing. A lot of takes.
Now, in 2014, you did 21 nights at the Hydro in Glasgow, which was amazing. I can only imagine how that must have felt. We've spoken to some of the other cast, and they were telling us about that experience, how incredible it was. It was like they all felt like Billy Joel or something, you know, playing at this big, massive theatre, which is just incredible. But you've just announced a bigger tour coming up in February 2017. What can you tell us anything?
I think the only thing to say about that is that we had such a good time in 2014 that we were all kind of basically itched to go back and do it again, because we basically got to be like rock stars for 2-3 weeks, you know. And, you know, the Still Game started in front of an audience in 1997. And so it didn't feel to us, you know, we were getting asked by journalists all the time, how are you going to fill this space? What form is the show going to take? And we didn't know when they were asking that, because they were asking us that, you know, in 2013 when we announced that we were going to do it, a full year before the show happened. But we did know that, you know, Still Game was could be a theatrical experience, because it had been before. And so to us, it feels, you know, very, very natural, and that very, very natural thing to do. And it's lovely to be in the same room as the fans of the show. It's wonderful to get that immediate response, because television, by comparison, it feels like canned food, in the sense that you make it in a vacuum. You know, the editor goes and edits it, then it gets shown to an audience, and then the laughter track gets put on it, and then it gets shown to the TV audience. And so you have this kind of long sort of call and response, this kind of sort of gestation period, which of course is completely absent in theatre. You're standing there in theatre, you say something, you get either silence and tumbleweed, or you get a warmer, as we call it, a big warmer right in your face. And so that's a great adrenaline rush, you know. It's a great thrill for all of us. So when they asked us to come back, we all jumped at it, and we're going to do something bigger and something better, something bolder than the last show, because I think we have to, you know, because we want to give people a good night out and give them their money's worth and let them see something they haven't seen before.
I think that was evident in the last show. You guys certainly put everything into the show and made it a big production. And I remember, I think people like Peter Kay came along, which obviously Peter had went on to do his Phoenix Nights tour, so I'm sure he was obviously looking to you guys to see how you guys put it across. Nightmare, is there anything you want to throw in? Because Nightmare is proof. Living proof that Still Game travels, and that it travels Absolutely. As far as Kansas City. Is there anything you want to throw in there, Nightmare? Because I know you're a big fan of the show.
Well, I've just been sitting here fanboying out, just listening and enjoying everything. I'm just giddy that we're. How many more episodes are we getting?
Well, there's six more are planned for this series. And we're hoping that you know, they go so well with the audience, and they go over with the audience, as wrestlers say, that we get a chance to do it again, you know. But we shall see. Well, you know, you never put your pot on for it, as we say over here, Nightmare. You don't light the stove. You got the audience decide whether there's going to be more of these things or not. But you'll also, maybe when you watch this series, you might think, well, actually, I don't want to say too much about this series, because you got to watch the six eps, and then you can decide for yourself whether you think there should be any more.
Was it hard for you guys to get back into character, Greg?
I think one of the things that was lovely was that everybody felt much more relaxed, you know, and more in their own skin of their characters, because, you know, everybody's seen the show during the downtime when we weren't making it. You know, people watch the episodes, they have their favourites, they talk about it and stuff. But, you know, I remember hearing this lovely story about John Wayne, actually, when he made The Searchers with John Ford in 1955, and he hadn't done a Western with John Ford for 10 years. And he did that great John Wayne walk, and he started to do it during a take, and then he stopped and told John Ford to cut the cameras, and he said, "John, how do I walk again?" and John Ford had to show John Wayne how to do John Wayne's walk.
Oh, wow.
And, that's awesome.
I think I think maybe... You know, it's a lovely, you know, when you're lucky enough to to play characters that have resonated so much with an audience, you feel really privileged. And so, you know, as soon as you get that costume on, it feels like a suit of armor, and it all becomes very familiar very quickly. You know, you take the stoop, you know what your voice is like and all of that, and the character just kind of springs to life. And it's lovely, you know, it's a real, real treat for an actor, you know. Some actors are different. They want to, you know, they want to play a huge, wide range of things throughout their career. And, you know, every actor would like to do that, but every actor would also like to have a character that people shout at you in the street, you know, hey, Victor, hey, Jack, you know, that's a real privilege. And we've got a new character called Mick, Methadone Mick, who played by Scott Reed, who's a fantastic young actor.
What's his name? The character's name?
Methadone Mick.
I thought that's what you said. Listen, time's ticking. We all want to be sitting in front of the telly, and we're tanked up and ready to go. Greg, thanks for giving us the privilege of coming on the show. I really do appreciate your time.
It's been great talking to you. Enjoy the show tonight, Ross, Andy, Nightmare. It was lovely to see you all or speak to you all.
Yeah, thanks,
don't tell
Greg.
Anybody, I'm hacking in though.
Okay, all the best with the tour and the new series, Greg, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Ross. See you later.
Take it easy.
See ya.
Bye.
Greg Hemphill there. I can't wait.
I know. I am just excited. I hope I have the right places bookmarked, because if I can't watch this live, I'm going to be very upset if I have to wait, you know, 4 days to get...
Get yourselves ready, people of Scotland and England and those who are watching Still Game tonight. Nightmare, Andy, thanks for joining us.
Great.
Hey, I am so excited. I'm off to turn on the TV and see if I can't tune in and catch this live, because I'm so excited.
It feels like those who listened in, thanks. You're probably gone by now. You've turned this off as soon as Greg finished.
Yeah, I got the TV turned on.
The TV's on. So enjoy Still Game. Thanks to my guests, Tom Urey, Paul Riley and Greg Hemphill, and good luck to the boys with the new series of Still Game. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week on the Ross Owen Show right here on Black Sky Radio.
Black Sky